Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by Golding Accountancy. How are you? I am good. I'm currently waiting for a phone call from the hospital about my endometriosis surgery, and I'm going to do a series of podcasts with some women who have had experiences of gynecological issues and about the treatment that they've received. Because I think it's a real big problem in women's health that we just don't get listened to and we're dismissed. And we also feel like it's just period pain, we've got to put up with it because that's how it is. And a lot of the time it isn't just period pain, it's actually issues. But anyway, we'll go into that later. This week I was joined by the lovely Kat King. I met Kat, God, I think Lola started doing yoga with her when she was 3. She's now 10. So Kat does yoga. She did kids yoga, and that's how I met her. And I wanted to get her on because she's really into women's health. And she used to work in the music industry. She's had a bit of a journey to get to her yoga-ing. And she's just really lovely. So I really wanted to get her on for a chat, and it was wonderful. I learnt a lot. And also, about halfway through it, we were talking about chakras, and she does like a lovely little meditation for, it's only a quick 5 minute thing. So if you are listening to this, then it'd be nice if you joined in with that about halfway through. If you're driving though, maybe don't. But yeah, I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in a bit.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Work.
Don't ask me anything technical. I haven't got that kind of brain.
Oh, really? Yeah. At all?
Yeah, not really. I do little bits and pieces as much as I need to do, but I'm not like computer savvy. And I think I lose it as well because I'm not in that mindset anymore. Like I used to work in an office when I was in the music industry. I used to do stuff on a computer all the time. And then now.
No computers.
Yeah. but I am now because of teacher training.
Oh yeah, oh,
I'm
God,
having
yeah.
to use my computer. Yeah, so yeah, back doing it on stuff. Yeah, which annoys my husband because he obviously is graphic designer and he's doing all his stuff and he's like, just. When I said I'm going to do my teacher training, he was like, well, don't just write everything down on a bit of loo roll and then expect me to type it all out and put it in, like have it actually documented in Word or something so it's legible.
What about note? Can you use notes on your phone? Or you can voice note something, you can record something and then you can get an app that transcribes it.
Yeah, apparently someone told me this, that I can just walk and talk, you know, as I'm doing, and then apparently you send it to someone and they type it all out for you,
yeah,
which sounds incredible.
There's also a website where I can't remember what it's called because my friend told me about it, but it's like a graphic design. I mean, it's probably not a good thing because it's pricing people out, but
yeah,
I think it's probably overseas.
Okay,
where you can basically put say what you want done and people pitch for your work.
Oh, okay,
and you can get stuff done really cheaply.
Oh, okay. At the moment, yeah. I mean, what I'm doing at the minute, I've got my best friend typing things out. I'm like, well, can you just type this out for me? Just like paying her in yoga classes. So she's doing that. And then it's quite nice. What I have found really nice since I've started to decide to do this is how many people have come in and have supported me and be like, this is great. This is a really good thing. Because I was have a bit of imposter syndrome thinking, like, who am I to take the step up to do the teacher training? Yeah, and people have come back and then everyone's been really nice. So
I really like the idea of swapping services.
Amazing,
because I think that's such a nice thing to do. I mean, I don't know what I'd offer people, actually.
Things like this, I suppose.
I can do
things like, yeah, things like.
I can do tax returns.
Okay, actually, I do need a new house. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm not a trained accountant, but I can do. There's something else that I thought that I could do.
I want a bookkeeper. That's it.
And it's like... Like, because my friend Nicole's a hairdresser, so if we're going out or if I book tickets for something,
yeah,
I'm like, well, don't worry about giving me the money, you can just give me a haircut.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love that idea of swapping.
Yeah, that was my client earlier, my friend who owns the Blow Bar, but still, we do the same thing, you know, I'd have my hair done, and I'd done my hair and the girls, and then I'm exchanging for yoga. So we're doing that. So I think it's really nice.
I think it's nice.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing
as
well.
When we live in our commune.
Yeah, definitely. That's coming. That's got to come soon. Yeah, please. I just want... Yeah, and then I think about that. And then, you know, things like Facebook where you have... It brings more things that you like, doesn't it? It's sort of... So everyone is in an agreeable world. Is that a good thing, though? Do you like that? I think it's... Do we need people to sort of, I don't know, bounce off or... Is it nice to be in a community? Like-minded.
When you've got, like, you saying hold the same political beliefs as someone, like, if you've got the same fundamental, you know...
Core
beliefs,
value, yeah.
You can still be very different people.
Yeah.
You know, people might not think that they need to tidy up after themselves in the kitchen or put the loo seat down.
Yeah. Have you met my husband?
You can still have rows with people.
Yeah.
Even though... Fundamentally,
you're
not racist or sexist or homophobic.
And living,
Because I think that was my problem with the. I'm a very big lefty, almost extreme left, I'd say.
Mm.
But I was shocked by the results of the last general election when Boris Johnson got voted in as Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Like, I still can't believe when those words come out of my mouth because I honestly could not believe that people would rather vote for him than Jeremy Corbyn. And I do completely understand. I know that there's a lot of... I've got very dear friends who hate him and I do understand concerns with him. But I just thought, Boris Johnson, it really upset me and it gutted me for a little while. Because on Facebook, I've got rid of all my racist people that I used to see, the, you know, stuff that they used to post.
Absolutely shocking. Some of the things that people would post.
And not even aware of how racist they're being.
Yeah.
And that's where
I had to highlight that to a couple of people on the things that they were sharing and it's not good, that's not okay,
just the stuff that you just read and share, you know, and it's like
yeah
But I've got rid of it all. So I live in a very nice world on Facebook.
Yeah, I've come off it now and again. I turn it off. I mean, also I use social media for work, Instagram, and I'd like to come off it as much as I can do. I am on Instagram quite a lot, but I can delete Facebook and still post things and it will still update itself. Because it is just, it gets too much sometimes. Some of the things you see the people posting on there, it's like, oh, what?
I literally go on there to see my memories for the day.
Yeah.
Because it's all the old pictures of the kids from when they were little. And I love that.
And then when I come to see you today, obviously we've known each other a really long time and haven't seen the girls for a long time. And I feel like I can keep up to date with them because I see them on Instagram or Facebook or whatever.
So it's nice nice in that. Yeah. But I don't use Facebook really for anymore or asking for things. I have a lot of problems in my life have been solved through Facebook. So as much as I have problems with it, it has done me quite a lot of favours. Yeah. So, but I think it's just that when you surround yourself with like-mindedness, you're then shocked that there are still people out there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the studio I go to, who I teach at on a Monday Fringe in Epping, that is just the community that's there. It's just beautiful. You know, like, as a yoga teacher, when you're teaching, you make more money if you do your classes privately. Obviously, not rather than working studio, but I don't care because when I'm there in that community, it makes me feel alive. You know, so as much as the people come to class to do the Kundalini on a Monday, you know, I go there to see them as much, and it's lush. You know, everyone's it's just, you come out of there and you feel like, oh, everything's good, life is good, because everyone's you know, a good person.
And I do believe deep down that everyone is a good person.
Yeah.
I think people are hurt and angry at the wrong people for the wrong reasons because of that.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's born, well, I mean, obviously some people are born that are psychopaths, but, you know, I think most people are
conditioning as we go. When we, as children, we get conditioned and ancestral patterns of behaviour. We know that we become our parents, you know, in some ways, you know. It's just, I've got my mum's hips and knees coming. But, you know, lovely as they are. In that, I think we don't even realise what we're taking on and what we carry through ancestral lines.
And beliefs that you have that you've just always held on to, that you've never questioned. Yeah. But then actually when you get a bit older, you're like...
Yeah, actually.
But then some people never do question.
I mean, I left home around about 16, not because I didn't get on with my parents, but I left home, I had a boyfriend, I left home, lived with his family in Gloucestershire, because I'm from Cheltenham.
Really?
Yeah, so I left home quite early, I got a great relationship with my family, but just left home.
Where
and just
are you from here?
No, from Cheltenham.
You're from Cheltenham?
Yeah, so all my family around the area, so Cheltenham, Worcester, Gloucester, and then I left home, and then was with my boyfriend at the time, and then, you know, always been a bit different, you know, I always... what's that program? You know, the Family Guy, where it's got the dog in it. You know,
the
dog.
Guy.
Yeah, that. We know Brian. The dog in it. Brian, the dog, who just never seems to be like he's from that family.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I just felt like I weren't. Where am I? What am I? Is it? Yeah, just like not in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I just kind of didn't belong there. A bit in a good way. And then moved to London when I was 21, and then saw the world in a different way. You know, if you kind of meet people as stepping stones through your life, don't you, that help you see the world a different way. I had my boyfriend at the time, lived with his family in Hammersmith, and just, you know, his parents were like, they didn't own their own house. You know, it'd always been brought up to say that you have to work and you have to have a mortgage and this is what you do, and you do your job whether you like it or not, and then you die. You know, that's the life, you know. And when I moved to London, lived in Hammersmith, it's just like amazing. And they had this apartment that they rented, and I was like, wow, like you rent this amazing house, and they were vegetarians. I'd never met vegetarians before. And the mum went to yoga, and that was the first person I'd ever met that went to yoga. And it was just another world. So I liked that in the sense
you met him?
So I lived in Cheltenham, and I worked in a shop called Cult Clothing, which is now Superdry. So the guys then invented Superdry.
Yeah.
So Cult Clothing was the store of the area, and they had a shop in Birmingham and in Oxford, and we worked in the three different stores, Cheltenham, Oxford, Birmingham, so they were all about half an hour to get to. And then my boyfriend at the time worked in Massive Records, a music shop that was in Oxford.
Yes.
And then I met him, and then he lived in London. He was travelling from Oxford to London every day to go to the store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. And then, met him, and then ended up moving to London, and then he got me a job. My first job, actually, in London was working in a model agency as an agent. That was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I worked there for a little bit.
What agency?
So I worked at Gavin's, first of all, that was in Burlington Street. Yeah. And then I worked at Boss Models, which I didn't like. I don't think they're going anymore, so... and then, so Boss Models, and then what happened from there? And then I was in that industry, and then I didn't really like it.
Were you a model?
I did do modelling, So I did modelling at... I worked at NAFMAF when I was... I lived in Cheltenham, And then I did some stuff for them, and then little local agencies, like fashion shows. I've always been tall, did things like that. And then, so when I worked in the model agencies, I just saw how the models were treated. They're like packs of peas. And I'm a very people person, and to tell a girl, like, actually... They said you're too big, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And see them starving themselves. So I thought, that's not the industry. I love the model industry. I love the fashion and everything like that. But I just, being an agent just wasn't the thing. Yeah. So then ended up working in the music industry. My boyfriend at the time got me a job working at SRD Distribution. I don't know if you remember. I mean, you know, music industry. So SRD was a big vinyl distribution company.
Were they in the brewery in the end?
I don't know if they went to the brewery. This was...
I don't know them.
It was in Seven Sisters, that kind of way. Yeah, so around there. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. So I did a lot of drum and bass.
Yes.
Yeah, and then lots of things with vinyl distribution, and that was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ended up working as studio manager for Hilton Grove, which was just the best.
Where was that?
So Hilton Grove, which was the best job ever, Guy Davis owns that, which is now, just the craziest thing, is East of Eden, the yoga studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, East of Eden is now. So my office, which was the music studio, is now the yoga studio. That's crazy.
Wow, yeah.
So worked there and then worked in, as a studio manager. That's kind of my,
Did you love it?
I loved it. I loved working in music industry. Yeah. I loved my boss. So I loved Guy Davis, and I was in touch with them, and Dave Blackman, who now owns Hilton Grove Mastering.
Yeah.
Just brilliant people, just sort of...
Who did you used to have coming in the studio?
So Dave had Coldplay in, so that's his famous thing.
Oh, yeah.
So he had, Coldplay and their very first... EP, I love him. I love Chris Martin. He's got a nice voice. I know lots of people in the music industry don't, but I like him. He's all right. We were just talking about him. Conscious coupling, weren't we? So they had Coldplay in, and they got Dave to sign their first EP. So he signed it for them, but they didn't sign for him. So on his 40th birthday, his wife tracked down through the... tracked down Coldplay in some way, and they then signed something for him, sent it to him. So how lush is that?
That's nice.
Yeah, so I see he is nice, Chris.
Yeah, I'm sure he's very nice.
All his matching outfits. So that's my journey. Yeah, and then the yoga came in because working in the music industry, you get burnt out.
Yeah. Did you party a lot, Kat?
I did party a lot, yes. Yeah, I'm an old raver.
Were you drum and bass?
Yeah, drum and bass was my thing. Yeah. I love drum and bass. I still love drum and bass.
Where did you used to go?
I don't know. I can't remember. Just like raves, Fabric. But Fabric was good, but not one of my favourites. I can't remember where the drum and bass thing. I'm trying to think where we used to go all the time.
Bagley's?
No. Bagley's I have been to.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think where it was. Where was the big one on the corner? I'm trying to think. I can't remember what it was called. It was a big club on the corner. Why can't I remember the name? The End.
Yeah.
Yes, The End. So we used to go to The End quite a lot. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. And then just go to raves a lot. Yeah. Yeah, so I've been going to raves. That's probably why I left home, really. So I go to more raves. Yeah. So, from the age of about 16,
Did you go to college?
So, I've been in and out of different things. I didn't go to university, but I went to college. I went to do A-levels at college, and then I went to do art and design.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You left home at 16?
Yeah.
So that was when you were starting college?
Yeah, so I was at college, and then... I left college and I was working in Cult Clothing as well.
Okay.
And then I was working in Cult Clothing full time.
Yeah.
And then I moved to London at 21. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was still at home. When I left at home at 16, I was still living in
Gloucester,
Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then moved up, yeah. So then I was with my first boyfriend. And then, so when I was around about that time, when I was about 22, so I was only with my Mark for about a year. And then I met Spencer working in the same company. So we worked in the music industry together. He was doing the artwork.
Yeah.
All independent. So we were, I never liked major record labels.
Yeah,
I've never worked at a major. It's always been independent. Much to now at the age of 45, like, why didn't I work for a major?
There was no bloody money in it now.
No, I know.
All my mates worked at EMI. And that all, I mean, it's not even EMI anymore. The building that was EMI's.
Yeah.
Sony, I think, now. Yeah. Like, that whole thing, everything, I mean, it just all went tits up, didn't it?
Yeah. But I was very rooted in the independent route, you know.
It's a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. It was great.
And it's for the music. It's not for the money.
Yeah, what I mean, exactly.
It is for the money, but it's definitely more for
Everyone trying to just, you know, liggers and blaggers, I think was the name we used to call. Yeah. And I love the music industry because everyone was honest in the sense that, in the way that they, you knew who was going to rip you off. So they'd be honest about it. They were like, I'm coming to get those records. I haven't got the money to pay you. I will pay you. Da, 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 da. And, you know, and it was just the way the industry moved, you know. But in the yoga world... you get the same. I've noticed the same difference. It's not all love and light. Sometimes you do get people that will rip you off, you know.
You get to the yoga then? So did you start going to yoga with your boyfriend's mum?
No, she just showed me. She just sort of opened my eyes to the fact that it was for anyone could go.
Yeah.
You know, I had always thought, you know, it wasn't in my, I don't know, just wasn't for someone like me that could just go to a yoga class where you had to maybe be rich or maybe really old or whatever. I don't know, you know, just not like a thing. You know, I was amazed by when she showed me what she was doing. You know, she was like, she was just really nice, you know, and the way she just sees the world in a different way. And so, working in the music industry, and then I started to get a bit burnt. So then I think Jerry Halliwell started to do yoga, and I'd seen Madonna doing sort of like, you know, the Ashtanga sort of thing. Oh, I'll give that a try. It looks all right. Bendy, da 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 da. And I sort of, you know, bought a DVD, started doing it at home, doing it. Okay. And then it started to take, and I used to smoke at the time as well. And it just used to sort of, never been a big drinker, but smoke, you know, and it just kind of like started to take over. I thought, oh, actually, I want to do that again. You know, and I never really liked exercise as much, you know, big exerciser. But the yoga thing, it was always on my mind. I want to do more. And then I started doing it by myself without the video. I was doing little bits. And then I started getting interested in Reiki. And then everything started to change from there. I did my Reiki training. That was the first sort of training I did. Then I started going to this really great guy, Michael Chiswick, in Loughton. And then it just sort of snowballed. And he's like, you should become a teacher. So then found the British Royal, went all down the British Royal, and then...
Where did you do your training?
So I started with the British Royal of Yoga. And at that time, when I did my training, so a really long time ago, you had to do foundation courses first. So you couldn't just go straight in like you can now, teach training, blah, 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 like Yoga Campus, whatever they do. Like, you know, 12 months, you're a yoga teacher, 6 months. You had to do these foundations.
Really?
No. You had to go foundations first.
Now, you can become a yoga teacher quickly.
Yeah, that quickly, yeah. You can
learn all about the body and everything.
Yeah, you do, yeah. You have to, you should, yeah. And you can do courses in India for like 2 weeks, and all of a sudden there's so many things around that you actually, to be honest, you don't actually need to do a training course, which is weird. You know, you have to, people don't ask. No one asks me where I'm trained for, really, apart from another yoga teacher. So people come to my class and they haven't got any idea that I could be just teaching stuff I've made up. And that does happen. Honestly, it does happen. I know people out there now just doing, you know, and also people come to my class on Monday, I do have to say things like, I haven't just made this up, because they look at me like I'm a crank.
Imagine, though, I mean, it would be terrible, but it would be quite funny.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to be a yoga teacher. And just, imagine women in their coffee shop saying, oh, I've definitely done that pose where you...
Yeah. But
they jumped half an hour.
Yeah, that's everyone's favourite one. Everyone's like lying down one.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so you had to go real track, and this is where things started to turn for me a little bit, because when I did my training at British Wheel, I didn't like it really. It's just they kind of take you. Well, if anyone's listening to this, then British Wheel, obviously some British Wheel are great, but it was just like strip the fun out of it.
Was it Was it all quite serious and British?
Oh, yeah, totally. Almost like a school teacher, like a school, you know, like.
Where is it? In town.
In British Will. Well, they do it all over the place. Whoever's taking the course, they do it in their area, but it's regional, yeah. And they appointed themselves as the governing body of yoga.
Appointed themselves?
Yeah, governing body of yoga, which got everyone's backs up, you know. And as soon as somebody becomes the authority of something, going back to the music industry, somebody's authority, I want to go to the independents. So I don't know, it's stupid for me, but I was just like, no, I don't like it. So it annoys me. So I did 2 years with them. So then I've already done in now's term a teacher training because I've done 2 years with them. And then I did another teacher training.
Is that full time?
No, that's you do it on weekends.
Okay.
Yeah, do it weekends and you've got to keep a journal of your own practice. And then I finished my 200 hours with a British School of Yoga. And then I did yoga therapy. I went on to do pregnancy with Tara Lee, Uma Dinsmore Tooley, who's amazing, Yoni Shakti, I've done loads of training with her, well woman. Then I assisted Tara Lee, pregnancy, and I was doing all these things, and then I had Grace, my first daughter, because I started teaching, I was like, oh, I've done this training, I paid all this money, and then I started teaching, I was like, oh no, I don't actually know if I like it, I wasn't sure, and I was still working in the music industry at the time, and I was doing like lunchtime classes and stuff.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know if I like it, but you know, keep it going. And I was like, something wasn't fitting for me.
Yeah.
At the time, something was jarring with me, and then I got pregnant with Grace, and I started doing pregnancy yoga. I was like, this is it.
Right.
This is, a lot of teachers are frightened to teach pregnancy, but I was like, this is it. This is what I love. I was teaching pregnancy. Grace, and you know, used things when I went to birth her. I wasn't doing Kundalini at that time. I was a Hatha yoga teacher. And then used the breathing, but again, her birth was fine. It was like 15 hours start to finish. It was fine, but I struggled.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as easy as what I thought it was going to be. I just thought, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to breathe her out. And it's going to be amazing. And, you know, I know what I'm doing. And then it was like, oh, actually, fuck.
Yeah.
It didn't go, you know, as smoothly as I wanted. And then went back to work after having her. And then started doing Kundalini yoga. So then I find Maya Fines.
So what is Kundalini yoga?
So Kundalini yoga is they call it the queen of yoga. So you get, it's like a fast track to enlightenment. There's nothing like it. We do kriyas, which are cleansing practices, or kriyas are actions. So removing blockages within the body and the subconscious mind, things like we're talking about, the ancestral patterns, the patterns of behavior, the things, the fear responses, everything that we've learned and we've seen on TV in relation to birth, for example, you know, things that we're taught, you know, and listen to as we grow up. We all store it somewhere, even if we don't even know.
Yeah.
Things like watching Friends with someone screaming their head off having a baby, Rachel, you know, storing it in your mind. That's what you think about at birth. So things Kundalini, we use the kriyas and actions to remove that from the body. Kundalini is a coiled serpent at the base of your spine, and we awaken the Kundalini, and then using the seven chakras works through the body. And, extends us into enlightenment.
Oh,
that's the key. Yeah, so the chakras have to be in balance for us to be in balance.
Yeah.
And I found Maya Fines whilst pregnant with Beatrix, this goddess in white on Body in Balance TV. Do you ever remember having the TV thing? But she blew my mind. I was like, who is this? I need to meet her. I love her. So then through the whole pregnancy, just found everything I could on Maya Fines, everything on Kundalini. Started doing Kundalini with Beatrix the whole time.
Yeah.
Put together my love of yoga method during that time, which is what I teach now.
Yeah.
And then her birth, 3 hours start to finish, used my whole kriyas, my mantras, everything, Satnam, 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 truth is her name. You know, just use those, the morning prayers, and it was amazing. I loved it, the whole experience. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm so passionate about it, and I keep it in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, because, and that's why I've taught hundreds and hundreds of women over the last, you know, 14 years, but especially since I've had B, so 10, 11 years with this method, and it's still there, you know. Yeah, I love it.
It's wow. That's so lovely.
Yeah, because it just is so powerful. And it is the Kundalini is the key, 100%.
So how did you learn about it?
So the Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
So then I started to contact Maya Fiennes and I started to train with her. So then this is, you know, from going from seeing this goddess in white on the TV, I then got in contact with her. I started going to all of her workshops. I then become her assistant and then trained in Kundalini yoga with her. So now I'm fully obviously trained in Kundalini anyway. Yeah, and just they started to assist my favourite teachers, as I said, like Tara Lee. I train with her as well. But Maya has the biggest impact on my life.
Yeah.
And her trainings and her teachings. And that's what I'm training, Kunda dance, which I do the ecstatic dancing.
What's that?
Kunda dance is another level. So this is where everything comes full back circles. I think all of the trainings that you learn through your life, even though you might not necessarily use it at one time, it comes back full circles.
Yeah.
So now the music industry is now seeping back into my teaching because I'm doing Kunda dance and we do ecstatic dance, which is my class I teach on a Monday, or when I do workshops as well. And I just play music that I love and we go through the seven chakras. This is Maya's teaching, but I use my own music now.
What are the seven chakras?
So we start for women in the neck of the cervix or the perineum for a man, but I only teach women. So say in the neck of the cervix, we have our grounding, our roots, so muladhara, so we have the colour red, and I vision. Let's do it now. So sit here. Okay. I'm going to balance your chakras. This is good. All right, so sit, however you're comfortable, and then just close your eyes. Yeah. And I want you to concentrate on the neck of your cervix and visualise the colour red. So imagine it as a ball of energy starting to spin, giving you security, stability, grounding you, rooting you down towards the earth. And then move up to the top of the womb or the womb space, and we'll visualize the color orange. So again, an orange spinning wheel of energy, balancing the womb, the ovaries. This is your creativity center, softening the lower back. And imagine now the color orange almost turning into a water orange. So allow that water energy to now flow around the whole of your hips, your pelvis, softening your lower back. Moving up to the navel center, visualize the color yellow. So a yellow spinning wheel of energy, removing any fears, any anxieties. I want you to visualize the color yellow as a vibrant sun. A vibrant sun in your belly center, giving you back your willpower, your fight for life. Move up to your heart center, visualize the color green. And just become aware of the color green in the heart center. Is it a vibrant green, a murky green? Just become aware of the color green. And it's a good indication of how you're applying your self-care. So we're looking for the vibrant green, but if it's murky, perhaps you need to think about who you're letting in your life, energies that you're giving out to others. So allow the heart center to be open to give and receive love in equal measures. Move up to the throat center, visualize crystal clear blue water in the throat center, giving you the voice to speak up, to speak your truths with kindness. Muscles of the face soft, cheeks, the jaw, tongue loose in the mouth. And the center of the eyebrows, the jus de cache, visualize the color indigo. Indigo light coming from the eyebrow center, your intuition. I want you to repeat there a positive affirmation, a positive sankalpa about yourself. Make yourself a promise. And then visualize from the crown of the head a clear white light bathing the whole of your body. The whole body relax. The whole body relax. And then bring yourself back to centre.
That's lovely.
So nice. So it's easy to do on a daily basis. You just have to visualise the colours before you go to bed. Yeah, so they're your energy centres. So we have lots more chakras running through the body, but these are your seven main chakras. We have a higher one as well. But if you stay to start off, seven main ones. Yeah, we need to rebalance them every day. So that's not, this will last you a day and then do it every day. So yeah.
Oh, I love all this.
Yeah, me too. It's lush.
It makes me feel all nice.
Yeah, And it's nice that, kids are getting into crystals and stuff now. I know that like a lot of the teenagers...
That's what Lola wants for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. They're starting to get into positive affirmations, crystals, you know. I think you have to watch it a bit with the witchy stuff because it can cross over to, you know, finding about spells and stuff like that, you know, burning stuff in the house. I said to my girls, like, okay, but not the witchy stuff. Just stay with the crystals, you know. I don't want any, like, spells being cast and stuff. Like, but, yeah, that kind of thing with the crystals is beautiful, you know.
I've got into affirmations, so I'm getting coached, and a lot of it is about affirmations. And I love all this stuff, but I still have got a sceptical, but I'm just like, I'm not hurting anyone by doing this.
Yeah.
If it works, brilliant.
Yeah, that's
if
exactly.
it doesn't, what have I lost?
Yeah.
That's how, do you know what I mean? But I do definitely think that it does work. And I do, I have been kind of telling the girls, not... they're quite sarcastic. Sorry, I'm just going to let Mick out. I don't know where they get that from, but they are a bit sarcastic. But I am a bit like, no, come on. Like, tell them that you've got to love yourself and tell them how beautiful they are all the time. And,
yeah, 100%.
You know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think, you know, you're right with cats, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He's quite...
Hi, cat. And we have to do it ourselves as well. It has to come from us, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, there's plenty of things I could pick holes in myself all the time. You know, I put on a stone over COVID, you know, all these things, you know. You can just list all these things, but it's not going to get you anywhere. And it just brings you into a cycle. And you have to stay with the heart centre and tell yourself you're sorry for all the things that you said about yourself and how much, you know, you're going to look after yourself. And all these things, you know, to bring it back home. We can buy ourselves all these, you know, lotions, potions and buy, you know, go on diets and run, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
But if the core element of the fact that we don't love ourselves, it's a lost cause, you know, it's no point. Yeah. But yeah, the kids know it. You know, if you're picking holes in yourself.
Well, they mirror you, don't they?
They do,
You know, if you're looking in the mirror, looking at yourself, criticising yourself, or, you know, then they're going to do that with themselves. So you have to be like, I look amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I try and do it a lot. You know, I am fairly confident. Yeah, I do I do try and do that a lot.
Model cat.
Yeah, well, I think I might have to go out. So, classic thing, a bit more. But yeah, I know. It's you know, I try and tell them how amazing they are all the time and stuff. So, with my kids. And yeah, I mean, I used to teach, as you know, the kids yoga. I used to do that with the yoga cats. I used to see that's how
we
met.
Know each other,
for the yoga cats. I mean, it's taken a bit of a sideline
but
now.
How did you get into doing the kids yoga?
So, yeah, the kids yoga. So, that kind of had a follow on from doing the pregnancy yoga as well. So, I did, when I was pregnant with Grace, I went and did the training, Calm for Kids training.
Right.
And then everything I kind of just want to make my own. So I'm not really into franchises or, you know, following other people's path. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I get the training, take what I need from it, and then expand it in my own way.
Yeah.
And so I started Yoga Cats and teaching the kids, and it was amazing, you know, teaching the kids. And I taught them every Saturday. And again, I didn't really make any money from doing it. It was just the fact, you know, obviously, you know, pay the rent, do the thing.
Yeah.
But for the studio. But I just loved it. Teaching kids is amazing. It's taken a bit of a sideline at the minute because I just... can't do everything.
Yeah.
You keep it all up in the air, you know?
When did it start? When did it come full time?
For the yoga, so when I had Beatrix, I was still working for Dave at the studio, and he decided to move the studio from Walthamstow right the way out into deeper Essex, and I was living in Woodford at the time. And he said, you know, you can come back. Oh, I have a great relationship with him. He's one of my really good friends. He was like, you can come back. Well, I don't really want to pay you to go on the internet anymore. Yeah. You know? And you know, so but it's funny. So and just I was like, well, this is a really good opportunity for me now to start this for my business, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really got a job to go back to, and I'm gonna just give it a try. So then I did. I set the pregnancy yoga up and the yoga cats at the same time, and did my method. I thought, I'm just going to use the method. I used the book Artist's Way as well, which is a great book, which gets you to write down morning pages, because the reason you stop going forward with things is because the fear response comes in. It's like, oh, who am I to do this? You know, you start second guessing yourself. So I started doing the morning pages, which is what Dave, my boss, had told me about. That's how I got into doing the Artist's Way.
What is that book then? Is it like how to start your own business?
Yeah, but it's... it sounds like it's just for artists, but it's for anybody who just wants to move life forward. And you just keep a journal where you write down all this nonsense in your head. So you just go to your pages and you just write stuff. And if you, even if you start off, I've got nothing to write, this is crap. And then all of a sudden the pen just starts to work. And obviously you're bringing stuff up that someone picked on you at school when you were five. Do you know what I mean? Something comes out and you end up getting rid of all this stuff that stops you from concentrating. And then before you know it, like magic, whatever project you're working on comes to life. And that's exactly how it happened for me. And then, that's what... And so the method was born. I started teaching, and at first, because I was using the Kundalini, and people come into my class and I was using sounds and mantras like Satnam, so people, I had, at first I was doubting myself, I was, people are not going to like this. And a few people didn't, they thought it was weird. And, a couple of my friends come to class and they were like, yeah, it's really good, but other people like, I might come back next week, might not. And, and then I think I just had to build my own confidence and think, what I'm teaching is the right thing, and I have stayed with that. And then I then was working at a place called the Zen Studios. I met another teacher there called Karen Yogaflower, who's one of my really good friends now. She was teaching there and I was teaching at the same time. She was from the music industry as well. So, she's now got back to the music industry, actually. So she's working for a major. And then Baba Boom then wanted me to come and work for them, which was the baby shop in Loughton.
So then
I started working over there, and my classes consistently full every time, every week for 11 years.
Wow.
Or however long I was there. So a bit longer, a bit less, 9 years.
And I
think the difference is, it's not necessarily about having your classes full. I think the difference is, it's not just a class that they go to, that when the people come, pregnant people come to the class, it's a community, and I care about them, and I worry about them, and I think it's not necessarily people, when pregnant people come to a class, they can be coming from like high flying jobs up in the city, and they're all right with, they've got everything, and all of a sudden they become vulnerable when you're pregnant. You become everything's changing, and I think that they need support. And going back to what you say about Boris Johnson, I mean, running the country at the moment with the state of the maternity services and the birthing world, and what they're doing to, couples and separating people when people can go to football or go to the, the commons or wherever they're going, and all around, but you can't have the support of your partner there or a doula, with you when you go to birth your baby in a hospital and you're separated. I mean, how mad is that?
Are they still doing that?
There's different policies. Policies are changing in all different hospitals. Now that you can, but there was a time, full-on COVID, where you couldn't. And this is causing birth trauma. And the cesarean rates to go up. This is where my love is. I only teach, women or those who identify themselves as a woman in my classes, because that's where my heart is, I suppose. So moving on now from what I'm doing is the love yoga teacher training. That's where we're ending at, that's where I'm at. So the pinnacle of my whole thing.
So what is it?
Coming together. So everything that I've learned over this, my 22-year journey, but teaching for 14 is all in this one teacher training. And I'm giving everything I have. I feel like now I'm passing the baton on. I'll still teach, but I want my method to be taught, because there's so many CPDs that are coming up, like learn pregnancy yoga in a day, or learn pregnancy yoga in a weekend or whatever. And we're doing a disservice again once more to pregnant people. I think they need the proper everything. So with my training, not only will you learn my method, which is the method that I use all the time, I've got guest speakers coming in, so I've got a doula, Naomi, who's like a birth warrior. I've got the celebrity midwife, Becky Elliott, who owns Baba Boom Store.
Right.
Shelley, who's always with me, who's done also trained for Tara Lee, but she's always with me when I do my women's retreats. She's there. Rachel, who you know as well, massage therapist. She's going to be teaching baby massage on the course. I've got Alice, who does Ayurveda, so how to use Ayurveda in pregnancy and postnatal. Zoe, who's the mummy MOT, so she's going to be doing that, and Sim doing the anatomy. So all together, we've got this amazing team. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I want it to be cost effective.
Yeah.
And I want to include everything so that the people that come on my training have a career straight away. So they haven't got to pay, you know. So it's for everyone. It's inclusive. Because teacher training can be a bit like, okay, well, you give me $3,000, and then next year you've got to do a CPD to get the next bit.
Yeah, and then you've
got... So when I started training, first of all, my husband was like, this sounds like a pyramid scheme. It sounds like a pyramid scheme. You've got to start year one, year two, and then you've got to do training. It was like, it's, you know, I'm not saying Bridgewell is a pyramid scheme or any teacher training, but it does seem like there's a carrot being dangled, you know, in this industry, and I want to say no. That's, you know, I want to make it affordable for single parents or anyone who's on a low income that they can have a career.
So how long is it?
So we're doing it over it will take over 6 weekends. We're doing the training, so you have to do it over 6 weekends, and so it's going to be a 50-hour, and you have to perform at the end, say perform, but you have to make sure that you understand the whole of the method.
Yeah.
And you'll be nurtured and you'll be looked after the whole way through. And it's not, as I say, a franchise, but hopefully the people will recognise that they've been trained under the Love Yoga Birthing Method and obviously call it what they like, but then go off and teach that in the compass of what we have discussed of the training. So it's not like they can go out and say, like, they're a yoga teacher teaching normal yoga classes. They would only be able to teach pregnancy yoga under my method only.
So someone who's got no experience at all could do it, and
if they have a strong practice, so they have to know about yoga already, so they would have to have some kind of strong practice, and they would have to have a reference to say that they have done yoga before. But ideally they would either be already in the industry, or they would be a doula, or they would be a midwife. So everyone that's signed up to the training, my first training now I'm doing, I've got Pilates teachers, I've got pre-postnatal gym instructor who's also doing her teacher training, I've got two yoga teachers, and who's my other one? I've got who's already a hypnobirthing teacher.
So they've got
some kind of background in the training, in some kind of training. So, it's good.
That's amazing.
So I'm really excited about it,
So does it run all the time, or do you just do it in certain... Is it like a...
So, hopefully this is going to really take off, and then I'm going to do the first one in Thaden Boys. I'm going to do the first one at home, and then I'm going to expand it out into studios and do it on a bigger scale. But the first one I wanted to keep it fairly small and intimate.
Wow.
Iron out any issues.
So when is it happening?
The first one is happening in January 2022.
Okay.
And then we've got, so January, two sessions in February and one in March.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, cough. No COVID.
Everyone's like that.
Ooh! Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, I'm going to cough.
Oh, wow.
And then hopefully do another one or two later on in the year as well.
Yeah. And how many people can do it?
What, at one time?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to make it too massive, because I know some big studios, London studios, you know, have up to like 40 students at one time.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
I mean, obviously, it's amazing for income, but I think you have to think of the ratio of what they're actually learning. And when you're in a larger group, some people don't like to talk, and I think that's really important to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
So if I was to do training, if I was to expand it, which hopefully I am going to expand it, I probably want to keep it to about 20 would be my maximum, so everybody feels that they're confident enough to speak up and be heard.
So that's do important. You only teach pregnancy yoga now?
No, I only teach women. So everything that I do is around conception, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. Yeah, that's where my heart is. I work around the womb or the womb space. I do closing of the bones as well, which is...
Oh, yeah, so what's that?
So I use the rebozo. So the rebozo used in a Mexican tradition. So every rebozo, it's like a woven scarf. Every rebozo that I have comes from Mexico. But the rebozos come from the Mexican tradition. You have to make sure that you are keeping within the tradition, that you're not just saying that you're doing that and you're not properly trained. So the people that I am trained for will be using the rebozo. Sophie Messager, she's been trained by a midwife from Mexico.
Yeah.
Who passes on the tradition.
Yeah.
So the closing of the bones, or you can call it postnatal hip wrapping or hip wrapping for any stage of a woman's life.
Yeah.
So what I do with the closing of the bones is I just, again, use it in my own way. If I'm using it for someone who is grieving or is in the stages of a change in their life, so menopause, perimenopause, or even for a girl that started their periods, I would do a womb massage first of all, so external womb massage, and just to relieve any trauma or any tension that they're holding into the area around the hips. We do hip movements all the way around through the lower back as well, so there is a physical element to it, as well as spiritual. I start to rock and wrap the hips up really, really tightly. I use a stick for mine to make sure that the hips are super tight. I wrap the whole of the body up. I do a head and a face massage. I then do crystal healing and Reiki, and then I finish with sound. Some people sing, some people use drum. I do some of that with the drumming and with the sound healing. And then when you finish, when you open out after being wrapped up so tight, you feel rebirthed. It is beautiful. It's such a beautiful ceremony. Yeah, so I hold that really close to my heart as well. I love doing the closing of the bones.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yes, I have to do one for you. It is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting you on a spiritual tip. You're like, yeah, it is amazing. So, yeah, I do that a lot for postnatal ladies as well.
Yeah. When did you start doing that?
So, again, it's all interwoven over the last however many years I've been doing it. So, over the last sort of 14 years, I just pick up these things as I go along the way. Sophie Messenger is just amazing in the whole birth world. I suggest anyone trains with her if they're looking to work in the birth community. Just is training with her and just picked up, and every training that she does, I just do one and one more. So we just did the Mother's Blessing training, which is like the women's circles that I do anyway, but she was doing her Mother's Blessing one, so we just did that. That's beautiful. It's like a alternative baby shower.
Okay.
Yeah, so really nice. Yeah, all these things that, living in an alternative world.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an alternative girl.
So where are you working then? You are around here, aren't you, really?
All around the area, really. So West Essex kind of area, Essex kind of area.
So if people want to come to your classes.
Yeah, working at Fringe in Epping. I do stuff with Air Yoga in South Woodford. I do my own things. I do private events, women's circles. I've got a studio at my home now, Faden Boys.
Oh, have you?
So, a little studio in my garden.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's all good. Yeah.
It's all on the tube, isn't it?
Yeah, all on the tube, on Central Line, here, there, and everywhere. Yeah, but.
And how do people find you?
Love You Yoga. So, Love You, letter U, Yoga on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, everywhere.
Well, I'll post links to everything.
Thank
obviously.
You.
Yeah. And I hope the first course goes well.
Thank you very much.
Have you got spaces left if people want
to? I've got one space on the first one. If anyone wants to join, that would be amazing. Or join the wait list or then be on board for the next one. Yeah.
Oh, it's nice.
Thank you so much for letting me just gabble so much.
No, it's lovely.
Thank you.
Oh,
hi.
Hi. Wasn't that lovely? Love Kat. I've posted links to her. So if you are local, then you should definitely check out her yoga classes because they're wonderful. And what else was I going to say? Epic Mum Chat. There is a new episode. Catching the Liar. Our last episode was about you not having to like your ex-partner even though you share children, and that one's gone down really well. I think that's resonated with a lot of people. But this one is about when you're in a relationship with someone who is lying to you and you know that they're lying to you but you can't prove it, and about how you deal with that. And it's good. We cut it into two because it was quite long, so you can kind of, if you haven't got time to sit and watch the whole thing, you can watch it in two parts. But they've both come out. Epic Mum Chat on YouTube. Please, if you have any guest recommendations or topics you'd like to suggest, get in touch for the podcast and for the Epic Mum Chat if there's anything you'd like us to talk about in there. I hope you're good. I hope you're well. I've just had my booster. I'm hoping that I'm okay. I feel a bit spaced out. Anyway, big love to you. Stay safe and sane, and I'll see you next week. Take care, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.